Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring you Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones. Good morning, sir.
Hey, man. Good morning. Hadn't been much sleep going to Detroit and back yesterday. But let's have some energy and let's go get it. Let's
okay. All right. Well, let me ask you straight away, because there are a lot of different things to analyze from this game. Were you surprised at all that it seemed like the defense had that level of regression back to some of the same struggles they had had before the last three really strong weeks?
Yeah, you probably knew this was coming, but Detroit had a lot to do with it. But frankly, they were doing some makeshift work with their personnel, too. They had to really design their upfront offensive line blocking scheme. They had some new faces in there. Of course, they had new faces in that secondary. It's particularly frustrating when you think about that. They're a good team. Goff is outstanding. You can't give him any time. We did. We had a tough go of it inside in our trenches last night. That was unexpected. I thought we had worked all week to basically be ready for them. And this was a real puzzler for me as well, sitting there watching it. We've got to use our inside guys on defense. We've got to get some pass rush out of that, as well as stop the run. And I wasn't at all satisfied with what we did either place. Now, Detroit is a solid, good football team that could very easily go a long way in the playoffs. They could. So all of that's the type of thing that's going through my mind this morning. Very frustrating.
And that is very understandable. And you were talking about the pass rush. So early on, it looked like the pass rush was going to be a problem for Goff all night long. You got pressured four times in the first six dropbacks, a lot of blitzes on those early plays. Then the rest of the game, the blitz really eased back. Do you happen to know if there was anything in particular that led to that? Because the pass rush in the first few plays, or the first six plays, was outstanding.
Well, very, 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 I think everybody watching the game saw the very same thing. Not that any way I'm not wanting to talk about it, but that's the same question. How did we let that up? I know we were concerned. They've got a good combination. Goff's outstanding passer when he gets the time. He's a statue. And I say that positively. He's not the move-around guy, escape guy out of the pocket. So we had our ears pinned back And so we should have been able to do better on stopping the run, plus get some pressure on him. And no, really, we're going to be analyzing everything with real detail as it would pertain to, you know, how to use our personnel in there. I really want us to take advantage of the talent we've got in the middle of our defense.
And that's where the big investment's been, too, so I could certainly understand that. Jerry, last night, now obviously this is kind of after the game now. Do you see the Lions as a team that's been there, knows how to win and prepare for those big games, and maybe your team just isn't quite ready or in that same position yet?
No, I don't see that. I think they were at home, but, boy, we quietened that group down. We got there within three. Right there at the end of the game. I really thought it was going to happen for us right at the end of the game. And I thought we were within striking distance all the way through the game to get to that point pretty suddenly, which, if you think about it, we did. We were there ready to win the game. We get our stop, and we get that ball back, and that's the opportunity you've been looking for. That was all night feeling like we're being shoved around just a little bit. But they've got a great combination of offensive weapons with the way they run the ball, the backs' ability, the both backs' ability to make some yards. I like our back, boy. He's he's outstanding. And the point is, I know I'm bouncing around. It was disappointing, very frustrating. I not only thought going up there that we had a great chance to win, although we were on the road, and we were at their place. It's been tough for us in Detroit, but I'm not so sure I hang too much value on that. We should have been able to look and be more productive.
Yeah, and I think we were kind of experiencing that same confidence, Kevin, as we were looking at this team,
sure.
You know, feeling pretty hot about this team. And so that kind of stunned us last night. Shotty said last night that he said, you got to score touchdowns against a team like this. You got to score touchdowns against the Lions. How did you feel seeing so many field goals so early in the game?
Well, they were pretty, as you know, outstanding field goals.
Right.
That's just the point. That's the point. We all are agreeing they were holding us back from our scores that we should be getting touchdowns. We were a long way on those fourth downs from getting in position to get a touchdown. That's why those field goals were so long. So, again, the easy for us, we all saw the same game. And, frankly, we saw the same thing on the fronts, and we saw the same thing in the secondary. They weren't at full speed. We were probably as good as we've been all year. That you could have had me on this show last week or next week and told me that we weren't going to make a better showing, and I would have really debated with you.
Now, one thing that some people seem to disagree about from this game, I know Richard Sherman was really adamant about it. Some people and some fans this morning questioning the effort from George Pickens last night. Did you feel as though there was an effort issue whatsoever with him last night?
He didn't have the game that he's been having. But effort, I would be very careful with him going there. This guy he's explosive with his temperament, and I say that in a positive way. So I don't think so much it was effort, but I might not. But I don't necessarily have a good explanation as to why he didn't show up more, especially again against the backdrop of they were limited in their secondary and. I thought, although we have a lot of respect, I do, for their defensive front. And their defensive front did whip us on the offensive line. It did.
Yeah.
And so therein lies maybe a little bit more of the problem. You say, well, I thought Dak got some balls out there that should have been caught. Fournette had a really good night. I know we're all positive about how he's coming along,
sure.
But he made some really outstanding plays. But I would have thought it would have been Pickens Grand Central. I'm not disappointed, other than the fact that it could have helped us win that ball game. But, no, I'm not at all concerned going forward about Pickens. I would agree with you. I thought we would have more with him than we did.
Well, regarding that, because we've seen all the big games that he's had so far this season, and then to see that feel uncharacteristic, is there any more that you would ask of Pickens within what he's done this season? Like, any more that you're asking of him to continue being the guy that he's been so far?
No, he's exceeded. He has exceeded our expectations, and he's having an outstanding year, as is our running back. And both of those guys have done their part to the positive we've had. From having just viewed the game, not studying the tape, but having just looked at the game, I would have I thought we could go to Pickens more than the opportunities that we took with him. And so I think that had something to do with us not getting in the end zone. But I'm not questioning one thing that I thought. I actually thought Dak, even though we had the interceptions, I'm not as hard on Dak last night as you might think. I thought he played a good game.
I felt pretty comfortable in how he played last night. There was a lot of action around him for sure. And obviously we'll go back and look at that film along with you. Do you have any update on CeeDee Lamb right now?
No, I do not. Not being negative. I just don't have any word. They didn't get in till at wee hours of the morning. So I'm not so sure that we have any more information.
What was your feeling when you saw him on the ground last night?
Scared me.
Yeah.
Really did. And that's I'm sure why Dak ran over there, and that was a hard hit.
I know he is just really getting his NFL legs under him. You talked a lot about Savon Rovell going into the season. We were all excited to see him. I know the potential is there. It did feel like, or did you feel like last night was a particularly difficult game for him last night?
Well, I just saw a guy that's in his, third, fourth, NFL game, and with fairly limited live practice time under his belt. And that's exactly what I saw. But I sure am excited about him as a player for the future, and he'll learn from last night. We don't want to think about it, but you put some growing pains out there when you're dealing with first-year guys.
It did feel like some, and I know he's more of a veteran, some growing pains for Nate Thomas out there last night as well. Can you tell us anything about the update on Tyler Guyton and if you think he might be able to plug back in there at left tackle next week?
My thoughts are that he'll be available. That's just Dr. Jones thinking that he could be available, and I know how you need to take that information. Bottom line, my opinion is that he'll be there. But I'm going to tell you this. Nate Thomas is a rookie. He is a young player. And his reps are few and far between, relatively speaking. So I'm really pleased with what he has done, his upside. Boy, these offensive linemen are so hard to come by, that have all the physical tools that go with it. So I think Nate's got a real future.
I'm fascinated because we got to talk with Sam Williams, I think it was his rookie year, Kevin.
Yeah.
We got to talk with him, and we learned how raw he was still in the game, Jerry. And he's had a couple of things that have set him back here and there, but this season's been pretty interesting with him. Gets the block field goal last night, and then he also had a couple of good plays. What are your thoughts on how Sam Williams has grown since you've drafted him?
Well, number one, it is if you see somebody that has blocked enough to be talking about him, field goals and kicks and punts, that's actually a rare skill. I had a guy named Jim Lindsay that I played with in college, and he was on the cover of Life magazine as the new gladiators of not just sport, but he was special teams captain for the Minnesota Vikings. And he was outstanding, boy. He was a self-made great player and was a great special teams player for years and years. But I played with him in college. He was sharing with me the idea of blocking kicks. He said of all the things that he practiced on, he did it. He did every way you could, almost went to psychiatrist. There's something about a knack for blocking kicks that's a gift. And if you don't have it, you can just seem your hand or your body just don't get in front of it. Somehow you don't do it. And so I've looked at that with interest for years and years since Jim played special teams. That would have been in the 70s. And I've noticed the same thing as well. Sam Williams can block kicks. You have to watch that because obviously you get some of that kicker or punter now, and that ruins that's major turnover. But I was impressed with, have been impressed with his kick blocking this year.
You know, and you block a field goal. You had a clutch punt out of the end zone, a record-setting day from Aubrey kicking field goals. So you feel like it should be a special teams triumph. But, man, the coverage unit off of those kickoffs really seemed to struggle from preventing Detroit from having excellent field position.
Absolutely. We did suffer from field position on kickoffs. There, on the other hand, on the field with us was their special teams unit. They are outstanding on special teams. I'm talking Detroit. That's one of the big things you note about how good they can do special teams. But people get tired of me out here around the Cowboys talking about special teams because my team was in college. We led the nation 2 years in special teams, and actually, in my mind, the key thing that won us a national championship. But boy, I'm gonna tell you something. There was a coach in your ear. You didn't go on that field. What somebody was in your ear reminding you, don't you hold, keep those still. Don't you be offsides. You've got to absolutely indoctrinate with reminders of players to not get those penalties. And basically keep those hands to yourself. I like what we got. I think we've got an outstanding special teams coach, by the way. I think we do. But our coverage would, he'd be the first to tell you we need to get better than we were last night.
Now, I promise I'm not trying to get you in trouble with this. I just wanted to get your reaction to the play. It's 37-27. There's about 4 minutes left. Ferguson gets a pass towards him right towards the end zone, and a flag comes down. Did you, like all of the other Cowboys Nation fans, think it was about to be pass interference on the defense and we were about to have first and goal at the one?
There was no penalty adverse to the Cowboys, just not one, period. And now, in a way, we live with those calls. We all do. And I'm a big believer in that. I voted for instant replay and voted against it three separate times when it was being instituted. Voted against it three times, voted for it three times. I like the idea of putting it in the officials' hands. They are not biased, and they do make mistakes, but the mistakes ought to come your way some and some other some. And, of course, Steven is chairman of the competition committee. So I understand the mistakes that officiating makes. Where I always look for improvement is the determination back, whether it be the off season or back in New York, about how we're going to emphasize certain calls, because they vitally make a difference in the outcome of key games. But we did not have a penalty on that call. And these things have been going against us a little bit, not by us. I want to be sure and emphasize that. But we touched the ball the other day when we actually touched the kick, and we didn't get that done. So it'd make you maybe want New York to have more input into what they're seeing on television.
I'll say it for you, Jerry. We were frustrated as fans last night with some of the calls. But hey, before we let you go, I know there's. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, let me just say this: the business of instant replay is great. Okay. I like it because its accuracy. I thought 25 years ago that it would be disruptive. It turns out it's one of the entertaining parts of the game for our viewers and for people watching the game. It's really a very strategic thing to do as a part of your enjoyment of a game. So I like our system, and I'm not trying to cover my butt here. I'm just saying I like our system.
Well, Jerry, I know there's still a lot of emotion going into this and everything. A lot of fans, you're seeing, oh, the season's over. You're seeing some people say, no, you still have these, you got the 9%. Where are you? Where are you mentally after the morning after that loss last night?
Well, I, too, knew what was at stake about our odds of getting in the playoffs. We have a better team than we played last night. We do. Detroit is a good team, but we have a better team. And so can we literally win out? Of course we can win out. Is it going to be hard? Double, of course, it is to win out. And a lot of crazy things happen. And so I think very much that we should look at last night with what might have been, and I like to do that, nothing wrong. I live in a lot of my past, and it has never kept me from doing something for the future and present day. So I like to daydream. I like to do it all. I like to remember all the years with everybody I loved and all of that stuff. So I don't walk around in a daze. But it's a big part of living to me. But we've got to look at the very narrow chance that if we get out here and play better than we played last night, yeah, we can be still playing when playoff time comes.
And then the last thing for you, World Cup draws in just a few minutes. Do they tip you off ahead of time? Can you tell me who's going to play at AT&T Stadium?
Can it be a legitimate draw?
Fair enough. Thank you.
Let me say this. I can't imagine why it wouldn't be a legitimate draw, but I'm sure excited about the number of games that we're going to have at this stadium. And but boy, I hope we've got the luck of the draw and get the very best matchups you could second guess out of the draw. But yeah, that'll be that's a big event for us, and we've got great events. This racing that we're going to have out here with Penske Racing in a year is just absolutely. I'm not remembering exactly what date right this second, but it's going to be a big draw. Could be hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people out there watching it. So all of those things are exciting, and you know, I'm like you guys now. I've made my mind up 40 years ago that I wanted to spend my life in sports, and that's what we do. And so all of this is good. But I'll tell you this right now. I didn't think I'd be sitting here when we kicked off last night explaining why we didn't play better than we played. I understand the frustration of our fans, but stay tuned.
Well, we appreciate the time as always. Good, sir. We'll catch up with you again next Friday.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
There you go, Jerry Jones, right here on 105 Through the Fan. A variety of different things there from, obviously, they think they got to win out, but still the path is alive to the playoffs. I believe that as well, just if you look at the schedule and the math. Not going to be easy, but it's possible. But, man, the number one thing that he
said, the defensive front sure did whip us last night. Mm-hmm. And, man,
and he was frustrated that we didn't use our defensive middle better.
Yeah,
that's interesting to hear from him last night, too, that he thought that we should have gotten more out of that. And I can't believe you let him off the hook with that soccer question, Kevin. You let him go. He said he cracked the joke, and then all of a sudden
can
you were like,
can it just be a legitimate draw? So you think I should have been like, seriously?
Seriously, I need an answer to
this. Where's Spain going to be? Where's the United States? All right, I get you. And then, you know, you got to be really careful, he said, about questioning the effort of honestly any player, but specifically to the question about Pickens, and then did say he was surprised that he didn't show up more in that game.
And that's definitely him being smart and savvy with that, but he was like, he did question. He was like, hey, he didn't have the game we expected him to have, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to throw, good protection. Deep down the right side for Loy all alone. 15, 10, walk your puppy dog. Into the end zone.
Brad Sham with the call last night right here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys, 44-30. And we're about to have a very difficult discussion. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Cowboys insider Bobby Belt back from Detroit. And a loss that may have ended the season with the worst effort of the season, many people are believing, for George Pickens. So last night is why I wanted the franchise tag him. Now, I've been burned. I've been burned with the first Dak extension. It ended up costing more money. I am fine a lot of times with a wait and see approach. The biggest problem in tagging him is the cap number.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also what the hell David Mulugeta and him could cook up to cause another Micah type circus. But the premise of me wanting to tag him, I just want to see you one more. I want to see your behavior for one more year. One of the things, and a lot of people don't like it because people want us to be homers. One of the things that we've always done for 15 years and we'll always do, as long as I'm on the show, is tell it like it is. The Cowboys can be on a winning streak, and if Bobby sees George Pickens running half speed in routes, Bobby's going to say it. All right? We want the Cowboys to win. We root for the Cowboys. It's good for the city. It's good for you. It's good for business, but we got to tell it like it is. And there's been a couple moments this year where we've had to give you the reality of what we're hearing behind the scenes and Bobby's seeing on tape. And we kept hearing, and I kept hearing, that he was chronically late. He's not on the field yet, the Vegas incident. He's not on the field for the first two plays before the Kansas City game really got going. And this all has to factor in, or maybe it doesn't for you at all. And that's why the text line is here at 877-881-1053 on whether you are going to give him $30 million plus. Because we have an example of Trayvon Diggs falling off after he got paid. No one knows what the hell is going on with Kevontae Turpin. But he got paid.
I know. He's just not very good.
Well, as a returner, he was. He was a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
And he's
two-time Pro Bowler.
And he's got nothing but brain farts with his little fake hand gesture and his fadeaway jumpers he's shooting on the sideline or in the middle of huddles.
By the way, those are the only two fair catch penalties called in the NFL this year.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
So
it's good to be unique.
Yeah.
Richard Sherman last night went right at it, and many Cowboy fans agreed on Amazon.
The big story here is George Pickens. George Pickens throughout the game, especially late in the game, just looked uninterested in playing football. You know, and that's what you can't have. If you're going to be a superstar, if you want to be the best receiver in the National Football League, you can never be disengaged. It doesn't matter if the game's going your way or not going your way. You can't just disappear in these games or else you're not going to have impact. And just right here, cruising routes. You're the guy. You're the guy. CeeDee Lamb is not in this game. He's out, and you get intercepted on your slant routes, and you can't be the guy and half-ass it. I'm sorry. That's just you can't. It's unacceptable. And if you're the Dallas Cowboys and you're looking at him and you're looking to pay him big-time receiver money, $40 million, you got to look at this tape and say, hey, is this a guy we can trust paying $40 million to show up regardless of circumstance? And I don't know.
Now, GP after, Schottenheimer, Brad Sham in the post, we're all kind of writing this off to coverage. We got to look at how they were playing me. You know, two guys immediately over the top. That does not dismiss the effort that everybody, including Kirk Herbstreit, multiple times during the game is calling him out for. And I started with the Ryan Flournoy clip because, and if I can't tag him because I don't want the $28 million cap number, I can't manipulate. If I can't tag him, I had been for paying him. I said, you could offer me a first-round pick, and I'm not trading George Pickens, even though we have the Cincinnati Bengals model of paying that side of the ball too much, and you suck defensively, and you're not a real, true, balanced contender. Well, does Ryan Flournoy change your mind? Does Cedric Wilson change your mind? Does Dak Prescott elevating these guys' games change your mind? 9 for 115 for Flournoy. An amazing performance. That was a nasty. I know the defender fell down. Well, Ryan Flournoy's double move was freaking nasty to put his ass on the ground.
He played really tough all the way through to the end. He wasn't pulling up.
This was his moment.
He was playing. Well, I mean, his moment was the Jets game. This is the second time we've seen him do it.
Yeah, but still someone hungry to prove themselves.
Yeah, 100%. And he's the guy that, when we talked about this before,
that was incredible.
He got a ton of marks for when scouts came to his college to watch him practice his senior year. He had broken his hand the week before, and he's like, I'm not missing the one opportunity to be in front of these scouts. So he went through all the drills catching with one hand. He's like, no, I'm going to be seen by them. I'm not. And they love the competitiveness and the toughness. And he's shown that. And I mean, he was really, really, he's a genuine star up last night. He was really, really good.
Maybe they're not having this discussion in Frisco. I think you have to have it, and we're going to have it. Now, what are you thinking about doing with him? George gave a quote before the game in a sit down. By the way, thank you, Amazon. Tim, just send Amazon to the other shows. No more Amazon Prime in here.
Do you know how many times they got recognized for this?
You were out that day. They came in here to film us. We record and give them content and commercial breaks. We try to change up the segment schedule a little bit. I heard Bobby's voice for 2 seconds. No visuals.
No visuals. That's right.
Like what?
I'm blown.
This is multiple times now. We don't get our TV shine.
So I'm blown away by this.
Like, just stay out of here. Go to KNC. Go to Fred and Blake.
No, like, I mean, I need my shine. But
they didn't put you on.
People know my voice. It's a very noticeable voice. No, it's wild that we were talking about this. The fact that they took 3 seconds of that, right? That producer is on salary, so they probably didn't need to contract him. But they paid for him to fly, I would imagine. Yeah. So let's say, even on the cheap end, $300.
I always do this.
Okay? That day rate for the audio and the video person, which they didn't use video for, probably $1,000 each.
Yeah.
They spent $2,500 to get a 3-second clip that I could have just recorded into a microphone and sent them.
It's amazing the amount of money that
they burned. They burn light it on fire.
And the clip they played, it wasn't even a take. It was they beat the last two, or they beat the teams that were the Super Bowl last year, and then they just got to.
Bezos just lighting money on fire.
Yeah, but I bet you. I mean, how much of that is they can't have you send it in because it's a union thing?
They're not really thinking about it. God, your brain goes to the next levels that no one could predict.
I know.
George Pickens, in his prime pregame interview, it was a great quote. He said, "I feel like in Pittsburgh you could hear me. In Jerry World, you can see me. Well, we saw you loaf and give up last night after your boy was concussed and the Cowboys were in a must-win situation. So, Ralph James Pickens, the number one Pickens fan in the Metroplex. I'm expecting some sarcasm and some jokes and some comedy here, but eventually I want to hear your updated reality."
Updated reality is I am not going to give him $30 million a year to play football. I'm going to give him $40 to play football here, okay? And I'm going to bring him here, and I'm going to keep him here because he's a diva, and I want a diva wide receiver. This is exactly what I'm looking for out of my wide receivers. I want them to be able to go, "I am he," and I want them to be able to go, "I
am she.
Am loafing the crap out of this game." Did we? We put Allen Iverson on a pedestal for admitting he doesn't practice.
Oh, my God.
I don't think we put him on a pedestal. I think we mocked
him. We put him on a pedestal.
And
they put him on a literal pedestal in the little 76ers Hall of Fame.
People have overrated him for years. Allen Iverson wishes he could be as good as George Pickens is at football.
No.
We praised Randy Moss. We didn't praise Randy Moss. But Randy Moss did the same thing. He took off plays.
Yep.
He took off running plays.
Moss is not a bad comparison.
You don't want that. You can't have that. You can't have it.
But in all seriousness, be serious now. It's not changing your mind whatsoever about signing him up.
It's changing my mind about...
What about our... And I'm going to offer you... Well...
You can't. The problem is you can't.
Tag and trade. I'm going to offer you a second and a third.
Oh, no. I need 2 ones.
Come on.
I need 2 ones.
Be reasonable.
I know.
I was going to say, people thought they overpaid with a third a few months ago.
We fleeced them. I am.
A one.
I could be talked into that.
Okay.
What I'm off of is I'm off of, like, hey, let's just sign him and let's get our 2 ones for CD. I want them both here. I'm off that, okay? You can't have that game. You can't have that effort. You can't have that mentality. It can't be allowed. And it can't be allowed. The coach staff's got to get on them. Obviously, they sat them for a series.
Yeah.
That didn't work.
I wonder if they're more out. And I heard he was late before the Kansas City game, and it was 2 plays. I wonder if the hammer cracks down more if they think that they're technically out of it. In handling it the rest of the way when you're technically still in it. Because 2 plays is nothing. That's a joke of a punishment from Schottenheimer. If he was continuously late and missing the meetings.
So I think it's generally kind of like a silly punishment for most players. For Pickens, I don't know that it is. Because like we've talked about before, you're just calling attention publicly to the fact that he's being punished. That damage.
Nothing was called to it.
No, but
not one person.
Not on that second
one. Not one person in Kansas City game, except for us, and that's only because we were told before. Nobody realized he was out for the first 2 plays.
Yeah, not on the second one. On the first one, though, for sure, like it did have that impact of
Vegas.
There are probably teams that look at that and go,
yeah,
oh, so he's being a problem again,
right?
And that damages him heading into free agency. That's a legitimate like potential punishment that he has to deal with. I'm going to answer your question with another question. So you say you need to see it one more year so you would be in favor of tagging him, right?
I need to get around the 20. I don't think I can tag him because of the $28 million.
But let's say you have the freedom to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You would rather just let me tag him one more time. I need to see it for another year.
Yeah, if him and Mulligetta don't detonate it.
What if it looks like this year? Is this year acceptable to you, like the way that he handles himself?
Yeah. I'm not talking
about the way that he's played on the field. You are projecting that out. But if I say the stuff that comes with it is the same next year.
I need to talk to his teammates off the record. I need to figure out how they really – I don't care what CeeDee Lamb says, and I don't care what Dak says about him. And I know that sounds weird. Dak's the leader, but Dak also wants a dog and a beast. Like, is 70, does 70% of the locker room feel, I don't know this whatsoever, I'm just asking, this would factor into me saying maybe not. Does 70% of the locker room feel like George Pickens is getting preferential treatment? Are they getting irritated by it?
Mm-mm.
Or is this, no?
No. Locker room likes him.
Okay.
From the 682.
What's going to happen after he gets his life-changing money? Trayvon Diggs disintegrated. Like, so, Jerry, and we always bust Jerry's balls for waiting,
yeah.
But we never bring up the mistakes that are made early.
So,
Jalen.
Yeah. Tyrone. People thought Tyrone Crawford was that way.
Bland could be a mistake. He could.
Could be. I mean, look,
I'm just saying there's other examples.
Yeah, I just think, like, you know, defensively, I could see how you could fall off. With a good quarterback and you're a good wide receiver, like, I don't see Pickens falling off the way, say, Trayvon Diggs did.
I agree, but let me clear this up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Deron Bland was a mistake because of Deron's attitude. This is all attitude. What's George Pickens going to do to me in the next? Now, he's done it throughout the entire year. He's been clutch, but like when he gets paid, this is prove it time.
Yeah,
and he's still late, or he's still not on top of everything.
Which wouldn't you think that's like, that probably means that even once he gets paid, that's probably just who he is? Because his money's on the line right now and he's still just, that probably just means that's who he is.
Yeah.
And he'll just be.
And if you're not your best in the prove it time, that worries me that you're not going to get better after you get the money.
Right. You're probably just going to be who you are. Which if you're okay with what he's been this year.
And it could be worse.
Here's the thing.
It could be worse. Yeah, we don't know.
He hasn't had any outbursts.
Well, so here's the thing. He is, this is the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize, or the way I look at it. I think he has been the exact same person and player he was in Pittsburgh. The exact same one. It's tolerated differently here.
Mm.
And it's always, like, I mean, for instance.
Tomlin definitely wouldn't.
We've got,
well, he did with Antonio Brown.
I'm more.
Le'Veon Bell. He's put up with some cancers.
I'm more strict than Choppy is, probably, with my kids, right?
Yeah.
So, let's say Julian, who you let him cuss and you do different things like that. Somebody from the outside, if they just saw or heard about Julian in Choppy's house, they're like, oh, he's not in trouble very much, blah, blah, blah. Whereas if he was in my house and he was doing that stuff, they're probably hearing, oh my gosh, Julian's just always in trouble with Bobby.
Yeah.
It's so, and it's like, it's the same person. It's different standards. It's different acceptance. And I think that Pickens is just kind of allowed to be himself a little bit more, or it's just not nearly as, they don't crack down on it as much.
Julian Choppy got banned from Christmas. My mother.
Did he convert?
He was so bad at Thanksgiving. She said, you're not welcome at Christmas.
Well, how was he bad?
Is this why he was scared to call grandma when we were in the car?
How was he bad?
He was just, I mean, he was acting a fool. It was on Thanksgiving.
Oh, what did he do?
He was acting a fool. He was like just constantly causing a ruckus. He was farting at the table, on people, on the food. He was a complete, utter disaster.
And what did she say? How did she ban him?
She said, at the end of the day, you're not coming to Christmas.
Wow.
So he's banned. He's banned from Christmas.
See, we need her to discipline George.
Discipline George Pickens.
Let's continue this. 877-881-1053. I want to see all the texts. I'm going to put out a poll question right now at 1053SS on Twitter. Are you still in on that George extension? Did last night change your mind whatsoever? A Cowboys Friday continues on Sean and RJ. But make it a Hurtado weekend. A lot of times they got the live music. They got the Big Red Barbacoa. Probably my favorite bite in barbecue is the beef cheek, the barbacoa. And then you combine it with my wife's favorite soda. If you know, you know, growing up and being raised in Texas with that Big Red, it's available on Sundays. And then you got the beef ribs available today through Sunday only. And then you got the beef rib chili. Who else is cooking up beef rib chili with the cold weather out there? And Brandon Hurtado, the official pitmaster of the Texas Rangers in the morning show, he needs some cheering up. He is not happy after last night as I was getting the text messages. So stop on by and see him in Mansfield, Fort Worth, Arlington, or Dallas with a state-of-the-art facility with the best bourbon program in barbecue and the best craft cocktail and bar setup, period. I challenge you to find a better one in barbecue.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Hurtado. And for all your Christmas pre-orders, HurtadoBBQ.com.
Back to throw. Here's pressure. Here's a slant to Pickens. Tipped off his hands. Intercepted. Down the right side to the 20, to the 15. And out of bounds goes linebacker Derek Barnes.
It's a Cowboys Friday, 44-30. You know what happened. Ferguson actually having Dallas Cowboy haters defend the Cowboys over that Nepo baby, Hockley, who screwed him with that offensive pass interference. Special teams, awful. Defense, it was an Eber fluke, apparently, the past few weeks, because they went back to the first half of the season, just totally incapable and helpless when it came to getting one stop. Your tackles were horrific, giving up 18 total pressures. Oh, yeah, and you may have a George Pickens conundrum when it comes to his future. Sean, RJ, and our Cowboys insider Bobby Bell back from Detroit. How have the Tolos texted when we asked if they've changed their mind about GP at all after last night?
Well, they are fully, and I do mean fully, on the side of George Pickens.
Wow.
Not very happy with us. Basically blaming, saying, hey, look, you guys aren't talking about CeeDee Lamb not running routes. CeeDee does the same thing, and nobody complains about it.
The same thing, Bobby?
No. CeeDee does not. Like, way more consistently. If you just want to look at the GPS numbers, CeeDee's output is consistently higher than Pickens.
I need a social study done on the difference in responses in different social media forums. Twitter was trashing Pickens. I posted Richard Sherman's clip on Instagram. They trash Sherman. And it sounds like the fan text is like Instagram in supporting GP.
Yeah, I feel Twitter is the place where you're not yourself when you go there. It's not a real place.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's so toxic.
It's very toxic. I don't think people generally, it's, nobody
not,
really
they're
goes
not the
there
realist.
For, yeah, they don't go there for a good time. You know, they go that.
Oh, no,
that,
when something scandalous happens, yeah. I go, the memes and the gifs are the best time.
They're great. They're great. But people go there. It's Pitchfork.
Yeah, it is similar to probably like a radio show. Like for instance, I was talking to Zero, Zach Rowe, former 105 The Fan producer.
Because our fan text is also toxic.
He says that after every
Rambassic
Cowboys game,
out of here.
He said specifically after Cowboys losses, he has to listen to us in the morning because he's curious what you're going to say.
Who, me?
Yes. So Zero's like, I want to hear Sean's perspective when they lose. I want to know what he thinks about it, and because I think he's usually very balanced, stuff like that. And people say, when this happens, I need this. So same thing with social media platforms. I feel like depending on what the topic is, I want to go to Twitter for this. I want to go look at this for this. Because that's just, I know how they're going to react.
People are saying Dez was the same way. We all loved him.
No, Dez was not the same way. Again, these
same
are
way
very,
with tardiness and timeliness.
So that's the thing. It's very different in terms of, like, you got to specify what you're talking about. If you're talking about a George performance like that, Dez never slacked in a game. Dez never slacked in a practice. Dez was sometimes too intense, but there was always, Dez was a big believer in intensity needs to be up and everybody needs to be pushing as hard as they can.
Look, I understand what the Fantex and the Tolos are saying in defense, because to me, every play, we got to be reasonable. Mm-hmm. It's like, I kind of compare it to running down the first baseline in baseball, right? Jake Riemann wants you to run 110% every play. We know you're going to coast, and we know a lot of people do it.
Right. I literally don't want you to run 110% every day. I want you to say, you got 162 games. Save your legs. You got September's coming, man.
There is some of that I think exists for NFL teams where, you don't need to go full 100% on this play. It's not your direction. Like, it's
like
not
the first running play, the first play of the game.
Yeah.
You showed me Georgia. Are you going to tweet out your compilation video or no? Because the rest of your day and weekend will be ruined if you do it. Where you're kind of showing him slacking.
I'm going to go through the full film first. I'm going to look and see like how many instances were of this and what paints the best picture.
We need to set a reasonable standard for how often receivers do this, right? Like the first play you showed me in break, Bobby, was George loafing off the line off a running play. Like, I'm not expecting you in a realistic world to be Hines Ward every single rushing play. The problem here is that these were balls. These weren't like routes where George wasn't involved and it was going to the other side. These were plays being thrown to the man. That's right. What's extra alarming about this. And again, I want to be clear.
With the first one.
I want to be clear to y'all. I'm just having the conversation that they have to have. I think they should have, and we have to have before you give a guy $35 or $40 million. I have not made up my mind exactly what to do yet. I'm not saying don't pay him. I'm just saying, like, last night has to factor in
if
now. If
this conversation upsets you,
you can't tag him because of the $28 million?
Yeah. It's just you can't manipulate the – if you tag him –
they will tag him just – I think they'll tag
as
him
as a placeholder.
No, I'm saying have him play under the tag.
I don't think they'll make him play it out. I don't think he would play it out.
Yeah, that could get ugly anyway. But if they tag him, you know, then – and maybe they're going to have to do – maybe they're going to have to extend Dak anyway just because of his contract.
Yeah,
but he's awesome.
He has been. It's going to be a nightmarish cap if they don't.
So if this conversation upsets you as a fan, if you're like getting pissed off that we're
what
having
are you
this sort
upset
of discussion
about?
No, but like, here's what I'm saying. If that's the case, you should be in favor of moving on from George Pickens just for your own mental health, because this is the conversation that exists around George Pickens. This is the discussion. And I don't mean just from us. This is the discussion about him with his organizations. This is the discussion about him with the people that he works with. They go like, do we need to do this? Should we do this? Should we do that? Like, you cannot like it. You can disagree with it. Just know the Cowboys are asking it. And so if that bugs you, you should want to move on from him because they're having that talk.
And who did you – you brought up a name that should not be mentioned around here, but you did it in the break.
So I said earlier this morning I had settled on he's Manny Ramirez, which I think is the best comp. Ridiculously naturally talented, but also from play to play, week to week, whatever else, he will go from unstoppable to like, yeah, I'm just not even really interested. And you don't know why. And teammates say, yeah, I love him. He's so much fun, but he's a different kind of guy, which is what they all say about Pickens. But the whole thing that spurred the thought was, I was thinking the last time I saw this, a game like this, was Rondo in the playoffs against the Rockets when the Mavericks sent him home. That's what it reminded me of. Now, I don't know. Is that a bad comparison? Like, did you have a more visceral reaction to what Rondo did than what happened with Pickens last night?
No, I noticed Pickens more, like, because in football, like, they're going to hone in more on every single replay. Mm-hmm. Like, I noticed that live in the moment more than Rondo.
Right.
But they're not going to banish George, I don't believe. Like, that got Rondo banished.
Can I? Mm-hmm. I want to throw. So I was doing some Googling around. I was like trying to find other famous instances of quitting. And I want to see if you think, like,
are you going to use that word here?
Low effort.
Okay.
Like, I mean, for sure. Like,
quitting's strong.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I can't say quitting is just.
It's a buzzword.
Yeah, it's a buzzword. It's just definitely, like, there, he did not give maximum effort. That I'm completely comfortable with. There were definitely plays he was taking
Is
off.
This definitely a standalone, even compared to some of the other effort things you've seen on tape this year?
Yes.
This was different.
Yep. That's the first time he's alligator armed a pass over the middle of the field.
I don't even care about that one as much. I don't. I understand you're going to get hit. I want you to be tough. He made the 4th and 5 catch. It was some of the other things.
It was all of it, though. Even when he made the 4th and 5 catch, he's just kind of flailing his arms around and fumbles inside the 10 for a second week in a row.
I'm not even kill. No. That was that. This is me. I'm going to sound like RJ Choppy here. That to me was just trying. That was trying too much to make a play. I thought he was trying too hard there. So I give him a pass on that.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's quitting, but I'm just saying it's careless still. Even though you're trying, it's careless.
I didn't even think. I thought it was reckless. Not necessarily careless. And then I'm not even going to kill him too much for the ball that went off his hands to start the third. Yes, it was a big play. But when you're half-assing coming back to the football and not looking like the ball is going to you, those are my biggest problems. Those are my biggest issues. Brian Schottenheimer on his wideouts.
No, I don't think so. I want to look at it. I mean, he was being doubled. You know, the minute CD went out, they just decided to play everything two-man over there and try to double him and take him away. But I don't think so. Really proud of Flournoy, him stepping up. I thought CD before the injury was outstanding. You know, we knew we'd hit some explosives. And unfortunately, we just, you know, we weren't very good in the red zone. Kicked too many field goals. And against a team like this, you can't kick field goals.
So The field goal thing was a problem, which, by the way, I was very interested. I went and looked at the Next Gen Stats analysis on the 4th down read. Should you have gone for it or not?
On
just in general, all the decisions during the game. Shoddy actually scored, I think, pretty much accurately with the recommendations. I thought there were times where he should have gone for it.
We should talk about the 4th and 4. I supported it. Now, the Johnny come latelys, the hindsight, you know, armchair quarterbacks are like, huh, how you feel about it now? They went down and kicked a field goal. I was assuming up until that point with the way the defense was playing, I was fine with saying, okay, they're not going to score with 55 seconds left. To me, if you failed, and I was shocked that you supported kicking it. I was so proud of you.
You talking about the one before the half?
Yes. I was so proud of you being a little bit conservative. I was fine with that decision. Make it a one-score game. You need a two-point. Go into the half, down 8. You get the ball. You miss that kick, and they get it in midfield. Again, little did I know that every damn possession of the second half would be at midfield and your defense would turn into Eberflus from the first half of the year. But at that point, I was like, let the clock run out, go down 8, come back out with it. I'm feeling great. If I don't get that and they score a field goal or, God forbid, a touchdown at midfield with a minute left, it could be ball game. That was the way I was looking at it.
The one before the half, the 4th and 4, the recommendation, the 4th down bots, it said it basically was a toss-up. It was a toss-up. 17% win percentage by going for it, 17% by kicking the field goal.
And Dak was going off.
Here was the problem with the end of the half.
Herb Street said the analytics said no analytics right there that I think kicking was the right move.
You can ask Eatman about this at 9:20, and he'll talk about what his problem was with it.
Ask his dog.
But Nick was watching, because there was a kind of a question. The clock's running. There's a question of, are they going to kick it or not? And Nick was watching down on the sideline to Dan Campbell, and Dan Campbell's sitting there standing going like, what are they doing? And as soon as Aubrey comes out on the field, he calls the timeout. They sent Aubrey out onto the field relatively quickly. We've seen consistently this year, Shoddy will go out there, hard count, and that you could have taken 25 extra seconds that you just chose not to.
Yeah, they had timeouts, right?
And I don't know why they send him right out there. Don't even try to hard count. Don't do anything.
Shoddy is not, and I love him, but FAF, fair as you know what. Shoddy's gamesmanship and the little trickery in those moments, he's what's a basic white girl saying that they say? He's basic.
He's basic.
You're basic.
There's nothing, like, we know you're trying to get him to jump. Like, he doesn't, he's bland. He's very generic, bland, blasé.
Milk toast
in those situations. He should have gone out there.
Like, how many times
he usually does.
Yeah, he's done that every situation this year. He goes out there, he either takes the penalty or he calls timeout.
He's probably scared that they would freaking false start and back up out of field goal range.
Well, I mean,
they still had like 20 yards to go before they were outside.
They were the 37. They were the 37. So I mean, yeah, they still had some time, some room.
That would have made it a 60 yarder. It was a 55 yarder. If they false start, I'm half joking.
Which 60 is still a chip shot. For Aubrey,
63.
But yeah, so the fourth down bot says that was a toss up. The other one, the other fourth down at the end of the game, did you have a problem with that one? They were down 10. It's fourth and three
got screwed after the Ferg call.
Yeah, I think so. At the Detroit 11,
and it was fourth and what?
It was fourth and three. At the Detroit 11.
I was fine with kicking it.
I was okay with kicking it. It did say it was a strong go for it, according to the bots, the decision bots. But I didn't care because at that point, the chances of you winning the game are slim anyway. You had to get points. You had to come away with points.
And the argument is are you going to get that close again? So score your touchdown.
That's the argument for going for the touchdown is like, are you going to get that close again? And with Aubrey, you kick it from midfield.
Do we dare do a star up?
Before, we got plenty.
We got a Dave Chappelle ticket giveaway in the 9 o'clock hour. We got RJ's Degenerate Selections and Worst Take, along with Nick Eatman, Chappelle tickets, and star up in B-Lo.
D-Belt.
Next on 105.3 The Fan. But first, let me go ahead and get rid of that vehicle in your garage, in your driveway. I know it's an eyesore. She's like, are you ever going to fix it? Well, now it's cold. You're not going to deal with it now. You're supposed to do it in the spring, but we don't have spring in Texas or the fall. We just go straight to winter and 25 degrees. GimmeTheVIN.com. Join thousands of satisfied Tolos who have sold their cars to GimmeTheVIN.com. You receive an instant quote for your car online. It's fast, it's easy, and it's hassle-free. Get the offer you want with that Tolo customer satisfaction. You make the deal. You get a free pickup or drop-off, you get paid, and then you're done. Trust earned. Just go check out the reviews. Tolos consistently say that selling their car to GimmeTheVIN.com is easy and hassle-free. They make that process seamless because earning trust with every sale is their top number one Tolo goal. The smarter way to sell your car online is GimmeTheVIN.com. Trusted locally and nationally for fast, fair offers, and same-day payments.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
My belt.
We're not. Over to you, Bobby.
At the 47, this is 63.
You're talking about confidence in your kicker.
Butter. 63. Snap. Kick. On the way. The kick is good. It's buttery good. From 63 yards.
Oh, my God. I did not know that.
That is so good.
Give us that drop again, Jake. I did not know that existed. Choppy, your eyes are closed.
Good.
Yeah. So is your mic.
I think it was wonderful. It's fantastic.
Well, you should not comment after Twitter, your former intern, we just found out.
I know.
Called you arrogant.
I know.
The Texas Legends thought you were Jim Nance.
I know. I didn't think I was taking myself too seriously out there doing Adele songs.
You were more like the Savannah Bananas announcer.
Yeah. I don't think I was thinking of myself as Jim Nance. I didn't even have a spotting chart.
I didn't know you had an intern.
I figured out who we were playing mid-second quarter.
Oh, it's like a Tarleton game.
It's like a Tarleton game.
Yeah. Shout out to Tarleton. All right. Below the belt here, which is brought to you by D&M Leasing and Window Nation. Let's do some star ups. You know what? You felt like when we went to the callers at 7:20, there was a little bit more positivity than maybe you expected.
Yeah, but
a little bit more optimism.
People are like, they're still making the playoffs, Sharif.
I did not get it on my Twitter yesterday. Some of the stuff. Yeah, the flip like that to like just constant. This is why Schottenheimer's a joke of a coach. Somebody's like, tell your boyfriend Schottenheimer on Fridays that he sucks.
Because y'all are disingenuous. Yeah, those people are disingenuous and bipolar because you wait for them to lose and then act like the amazing run of beating Kansas City and Philadelphia didn't happen. Say it beforehand. They're going to get smoked if you want credit. I'm not giving you hindsight credit.
So let's try to find some silver lines. I think there were actually some guys who really stepped up and played well for the entire game yesterday. But I've got mine. I know I've got mine. I'm curious. Do y'all have any? Was there anything you saw
in that
game?
Of course, they scored 30 points. They were down three. It was a wild back and forth. And Star Up, Star Down brought to you by Wild Fork Foods and Johnson Fitness and Wellness. My Star Ups, Ryan Flournoy, 42-yard touchdown in the fourth. The double move was nasty. He had a 3rd-and-8 conversion in the fourth, down 10. I mean, it's making me think about a George Pickens trade proposal. Dak Prescott star up. Early on defensive line. Houston with a big third down sack. Osa and Ezeraku. And I was like, okay, it's going to be that night. Line it up 5 up front. And then Sam Williams. We didn't even talk about this. I thought Sam could have had the turning point of the game if they won with the blocked field goal. But he and Quinnen also flashed a little bit later on, early on the defensive line. Obviously, Aubrey, and then CeeDee Lamb. I mean, CeeDee Lamb, did he still lead them in receiving yards after the concussion? He did, 6 for 121. So those were my star ups.
I think Sean has a mirror to my computer because I have D-line early, literally D-line early, Aubrey, Flannoy. Like we talked about it last segment.
We watched the same amount of football.
We did. Taking the points before the half, I thought that was a star up from a coach perspective. We killed the special teams. You got to give them a star up on the blocked field goal.
Unit or just Sam?
Sam.
Third blocked kick of his career.
You know what? Don't bring individuals here if you're going to punish the whole team for George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb being out till 7:30 in the morning when it's a team thing. Okay, so it's a unit thing.
Don't know that it punished the team, but okay. I've got some other problems. Sam Williams does deserve one, not just for the block kick. Sam Williams yesterday, from what I could tell, was playing the run well. Obviously, Detroit didn't get into much of that. There was a point during this game that I think it was like 25 pass attempts for Goff to like 6 designed runs or something. It was ridiculous. It was like Pete Carroll calling the Raiders game where Ashton Jeanty just wasn't touching the ball for the first 3 quarters of the game. But Sam Williams, when he was on the field yesterday, the average yards per carry for the Detroit Lions was 2.8 on 14 attempts. The other 8 carries where Sam Williams was off the field, the Detroit Lions averaged 8.8 yards per carry. It was a 6-yard difference when Sam Williams was on or off the field against the run yesterday. I think star up for Solomon Thomas, the little bit that I noticed him yesterday, he was holding contained well. He had a really nice hustle play to the sideline that I like. The defensive line was, I think, good for the most part. There just wasn't enough of an adjustment when the pass rush was struggling. I think Quinnen Williams is a star up.
But that's the thing with the pass rush.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't getting home consistently enough. But once that changed, like once you knew that, the onus to me is on Eberflus, which I don't think we've said Eberflus specifically yet, but he's a massive starter. He's one of the top 3 people that I think are responsible for yesterday.
And what specifically?
The fact that he just refused to adjust. Like, in fact, he actually adjusted away from what kind of worked on the first drive and then stuck in that. So the first 6 plays, the first 6 dropbacks, not first 6 plays, but first 6 dropbacks for Jared Goff yesterday, you saw frazzled, throwing the ball at the feet of people. He sailed another one. He got sacked. On those first 6 dropbacks, he was pressured on 4 of them, and the Cowboys had blitzed on 3 of the 6 dropbacks. The next 29 dropbacks, which was the rest of the game, they equaled their pressures. They got 4. And 29 dropbacks, and they blitzed 5 times. They just completely shifted away. And the reason was, early on in that drive, it was very clear Jahmyr Gibbs was going to hurt you in this game, that he was just as much of the threat that they thought he was. And they clearly, I think, felt terrorized by the thought of blitzing and him leaking out. Now, I wonder if that pivot away from it came specifically because Amon-Ra St. Brown played. Like, I wonder if they planned to blitz. And now with Amon-Ra out there and Jamison, they're like, well, we can't afford to not have resources towards, like, we would have had Jahmyr Gibbs accounted for. But now we got to account for Amon-Ra St. Brown, right. So we can't afford to blitz and have him leak out.
Man, I'll tell you, we've all watched enough of Jared Goff over his career. Like, I would much rather risk Gibbs getting screen passes and pressure the hell out of him than to let him have all day to throw.
There's no guarantee he gets the ball to Gibbs to run with it
right.
if you're pressuring him.
Yeah,
I think it was an awful
decision.
We've
seen enough. If you give him time to throw, I mean, he's good. If you don't give him time to throw, he's awful. It's simple.
I got another star up here. I am giving a star up to Tyler Guyton, who did not play but secured his job for the future yesterday. So this is the thing that we've talked about with Guyton, is that when we've done post-up clarity, I've said recently, you watch him and it's not technically impressive. It's not like, as Jason Garrett would talk about, the teach tape. You're not showing the teach tape of like, oh, here's how you play left tackle. This is the smooth, just perfect mechanics of how you play this position. No, that's not Tyler Guyton. I have compared Tyler Guyton to the guy who, when he's swimming, you're like, is he drowning? Oh no, he's staying up. He's swimming. Like, just, it's a struggle, but he's staying up. He's staying up. He's not going under. And that's Guyton. Guyton fights. He's scrappy. He battles. His technique's not always there, but he's gonna make sure that he's giving everything he can on the play to keep it in place. And I think when everybody goes, man, Guyton's awful, I don't think they realize how solid he's been until you see Nathan Thomas in the fourth quarter last night.
Yep, the fourth quarter, the game.
Yeah, the game, but really the fourth quarter where it was like every single drop back, it felt like.
Yes.
I mean, he gave up 11 pressures in this game. He's third on the team in pressures allowed this season, and he's played fewer than a third of the snaps of all the other guys.
Bad help plan? I saw Lipke in there. I saw Span forward on sides.
Yeah, I'll have to look back and see what they did in terms of to get help his way. I wonder if part of it was they just felt like he played well against Kansas City and they thought they could trust him a little bit, maybe. But I don't know how much help they were funneling his way. Both the tackles were bad, like we talked about. Steele was not good either. Steele and Thomas yesterday were just allowing really quick pressure too. It was always just that fast that they had somebody in their face. Another star up to somebody on the offensive line, Tyler Smith. Tyler Smith did play well. Tyler Smith, there was one sack that Dak took. I don't know if you guys remember. You remember the one where Dak's kind of standing in the middle of the pocket, and he's waiting and waiting, and then he starts trying to roll out left, and he gets caught, and it's like, just throw the ball away, dude.
Yep.
On that specific play, Tyler Smith is just locking somebody up directly in front of Dak, and I think that gave Dak false confidence that he was cool and secure, and that's why he held the ball so long. But zero pressures allowed from Tyler Smith. He's the only one who didn't allow a single pressure. He was really, really good yesterday. When I would focus in on him and watch him a little bit, I thought he was positive. And then I am going to give a star up. I was on the fence a little bit because ultimately, you know, it's the quote from A Bug's Life. First rule of leadership, everything is your fault. And Dak Prescott, I think, does deserve a star up. I think you were right about that, Sean.
You know, have you ever had like an opinion and then like there's an avalanche of people on the other side and it makes you question?
Yeah, like 2 days ago for you.
What I just watched. Well, no. See, the difference is that I'm still right. Okay. Man, the amount of people killing Dak on social media and on the fan text saying, how could you guys say he had a good game? He had two picks, should have had four, had all these sacks.
Well, the Pickens pick is not his fault.
It's not.
I don't care about the final pick.
And the final pick was sort of the same situation. It was a ball in somebody's hands that got smacked up in the air.
I don't care about the. I don't necessarily think. To me, there are
if you are putting
NQIs, non quarterback interceptions.
If you're putting the hate on Dak Prescott, it's the same old story. It's because you have said for years he's not good, and you just don't want to admit it. It's a male stubbornness problem. We all have it. It's either that or you did not watch. You're only following the football, and I'm not watching up front like Broadus and Bobby and ball knowers like Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
You're not watching the offensive line enough to see them get absolutely torched and Dak get pummeled and crushed. It's one of the two things. You're just wanting to win your narrative or you're not watching the offensive line enough to watch how bad they were.
Now, there were a couple.
Maybe
two of the sacks, Dak should have gotten rid of the ball, and he didn't. Yeah. So, like, he got sacked five times. Two of those were on him. He had the one throw that was ridiculously out of bounds. The ball that CD got hurt on was not great. The placement wasn't great. That I got flooded with on Twitter. People who, I think that's where some of this is coming from. Some people are just like, he got CD hurt. It's like, he didn't get CD hurt. Ball
placement
was not great
there.
It
wasn't a hospital ball.
No, it wasn't. He didn't hang him out to dry. It was an unfortunate circumstance, but it's something where I think that he played really strong. And I was looking it up during the break. under pressure the last two seasons. All NFL quarterbacks, qualifying quarterbacks, so that's attempting at least 13 throws under pressure. He had the third highest passer rating last night of anybody in the NFL over the last two seasons. And so he played really, really well under pressure.
Early George Pickens poll, by the way, is 70-30. The Tolos still want to pay him. So that's at 105.3 SS. 70-30. Yes, still pay him. No, the money will make it worse.
Hey, I didn't tell you who I voted for.
Final hour of a Football Friday. Our final Dave Chappelle tickets that we have in our possession. Nick Eatman back from Detroit at 9:20. But RJ gets you set for the College Football Conference Championship weekend and nominees for Worst Take. Maybe you think it's one of us now after talking about GP or this football team. Worst Take and RJ's College Football Preview and Degenerate next.
After we get you over to roughgreens.com, promo code CHOPPY, that gets you a free Jumpstart trial bag. But this is for your dog, boys and girls. That's right, RUFFgreens.com, roughgreens.com. If you follow my social media, you know we got videos and pictures of our dog, Pudge. And we love to keep him healthy with Rough Greens. Why? Well, because dog food is dead food. That kibble that we give our dogs, traditional dog food, it's made to sit on a shelf for years. It is lifeless. Rough Greens is packed with vitamins, minerals, probiotics, digestive enzymes, omega oils, and this is what is going to help your dog be healthier. 30 days in, you see the change, a shinier coat. 60 days in, they got more energy. 90 days in, the joint functions better. If you have an aging dog, it's a must. It's an absolute must. If you have a young dog like we do, and he's about 3 years old, it just keeps them healthier longer. Roughgreens.com, promo code CHOPPY. You don't have to change the dog's food. All you do is add a scoop of Rough Greens to their food and watch the health. Boom, baby. Roughgreens.com, promo code CHOPPY.
Welcome in. It's a Football Friday. We're live at Tolbert Garage Door with Toys for Tots. Bring an unopened toy for the kids. We sure would appreciate it. And right out of the gates, we're going out to the phones where Stephen Jones joins you now here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Good afternoon, guys.
Man, how we doing today? How'd you take all that in with the loss to Detroit after so much excitement, but still in it, right? So big picture, how you looking at the rest of the season at this point forward?
Well, like we've taken the whole season, it's got to be 1 week at a time. Obviously, that was a very, a tough one. We felt like we didn't, play to the standard that we expect our guys to play to in all three phases. I think we got to give Detroit a lot of credit. Obviously, that's a tough place to play. Obviously, that's a good team, and we didn't get the job done. As I said, in all three phases, we just didn't play to the standard that we expect our guys to play to, and, there was a lot on the line there, and we didn't get the job done.
Specifically, a lot of people are reacting to George Pickens' performance. Was that a red flag for you guys in any way?
No, that's a they obviously had a plan for George, and, the good news is CD was on his way to a career-type day before he had his concussion, and hats off to Flo. He stepped up, Flournoy, and stepped up and, picked up where CD left off. But, you can't be in a game like that and them score touchdowns and us kick field goals and then, the killer, of course, which we always know is, they had three turnovers and we didn't take the ball away. And on top of that, we gave them too good a field position on special teams. And, it just led to, the situation that we ended up in. We gave ourselves a chance there at the end, but, when we cut it to three but couldn't get the big stop. And unfortunately, we did get the job done. Give a lot of credit to Detroit and Dan Campbell. He had his team ready to go, and we, we came up short.
You brought up CD, and he truly was unguardable until that scary injury in the end zone there. Is there any update on how CD's doing today?
Yeah, I mean, right now we think he's headed in a good direction to be able to, play. But obviously, we'll just take each day and see how he continues, but he was making good progress through the evening up until we landed, and we'll see how the day goes today. But we've played four games in a short period of time there, and we've got a little break here to get our feet back up under us. And as you said, we just got to, worry about ourselves. And, we still got an opportunity. We're not out of it, but we obviously got a lot of work to do ourselves, and certainly we need a lot of help.
Steven, what do you think happened to the pass rush as the game went on? It seems like they started out pressuring Goff pretty good and then just started to wane a little bit as the game went on. Was it something that Detroit was doing?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you got to give Detroit credit for making the adjustments. And, we just didn't get the pressure we needed to. And on a guy like Goff, if you let him sit back there, he's a great passer of the ball, and he's got great weapons. Gibbs obviously showed up big time for him. Williams, and then of course St. Brown, playing through an injury, you got to give him a lot of credit too. But they made the plays, and we moved the ball. We just when you're kicking field goals and they're scoring touchdowns, that's not a good recipe.
How close was Clowney to being able to play, and how much was his presence missed?
No, I think we missed him. I mean, he's been playing at a high level during our run, and certainly, it was, we hated that he couldn't play, but, I don't think he was going to be able to give us a lot, and we just felt the best thing to do there was not to take a chance on him injuring the thing worse, and he just wasn't totally comfortable with it.
Steven, your offensive tackle play probably wasn't where it needed to be last night in that game, though. As you look at Nate Thomas, really good against Kansas City, and then kind of maybe took a step back. Is that just part of being a young guy that every week there's going to be different challenges for him to have to get to a level where he could be an outstanding player for you?
Well, like you said, he's if you look at his play time, and he's certainly just now really starting to play. It's like a rookie, if you will, that hadn't played a lot, and you're going to have some peaks and valleys. Even players that ultimately end up being great players, the first part of getting your feet wet and going against great players, which certainly Detroit has a really good football team. That's part of the growing pains, and we just got to work through that, and we still, in spite of kicking a lot of field goals, we still put some good points on the board, but in that particular game, they needed to be touchdowns and not field goals.
Steven, you mentioned about the field position and stuff like that. Was that maybe one of the most frustrating games you've ever had, with you kicking a field goal or you getting a touchdown and then all of a sudden the ball being on your own or on the Detroit 41 to start a drive?
Yeah, I mean, that's, we got to be better than that. I know Coach Sorensen expects more. I know, of course, Coach Schottenheimer does. And we got to be better than that. You got to give them credit. They got one of the better special teams units in the league. And they certainly played to that level. And, that's a tough place to play there in Detroit. Their fans are, with Dan there over the past 3 years, they've turned into a really good football team, and they're all out to support them. And, it's a tough environment to play in, but still we've got to overcome those type of things and got to learn to win tough games on the road.
What was your perspective on the decision to give Jake Ferguson that offensive pass interference?
Yeah, I mean, calls, there's calls sometimes that you think, boy, that went our way. Obviously, that one, everybody has their own opinion as to how calls should have gone. I mean, that was a difficult one for us. But, those guys certainly are working to do the very best job they can do. So, in any given game, there's calls that go for you and calls that go against you. We've got to do a better job as a team executing and doing the job that we need to do so that a call here or there, one way or the other, isn't the difference in a game.
Think Philly keeps the door cracked open for you on Monday night? Jalen Carter out?
I mean, obviously, what we're hoping for, but I'm not – I can't speculate on – you know, how that game's going to go. You certainly know who we'll be cheering for.
Well, I mean, thanks for making this interesting. The three-game winning streak going into last night, it's been a lot of fun, and there's still some fun to be had, so appreciate that. Tough breaks there in Detroit, but have a great weekend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Hey, appreciate being on with you guys. Hope you guys have a good weekend.
Take care. Yes, sir. There you go. Stephen Jones here with you on 105.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.